think it's time to start. Good morning, good morning. Okay, today we will take a chumash, but not yet. Actually, the truth is maybe, yeah, take the chumash even for now. We'll start with the chumash because I won't give out the, yeah, it'll be easier. Take a chumash. Best thing is to take a chumash. And then there's also sheet. There's two different booklets. So, yeah, two different ones. Yes.
Just to let you know, I'm going to walk out of 10 very sharp.
Sharp. This is the best. No problem. Ailey, good idea. Not at all. It's always good to see you. No, no, it's good, it's good. Okay, now we were finishing Perek Chav Gimel, chapter 23. Now, what page it's on? Let's see. Let's see what page we're on here. It is page number. It's page 430, let's say 438, I guess what we do. Yeah. Yeah, 438. That's it. Okay. In the Chumash. 438 in the Chumash, yeah. Okay.
My sister actually sent me that it says Hashem will hide. It says I will hide my face, and Rabbi Nachman interprets it.
Hide his face. That's right. Yeah, yeah. Nochi Aster. Yes, yes. That's right. Afilu Bastara. Yes, is a fam. That's right. It is. It is. It's true. It's true. Yeah. 438. 438 is as we're doing in the Pesukim. So we were talking about this part of the parsha, which is a very interesting insert, how after all the mitzvahs, now Hashem is telling us how when we enter the land of Israel, He'll send a special malach to take us in, and He'll remove all illnesses, He'll bless our water, He'll bless our bread, and all the beautiful brachas that He said. And then we also mentioned how He's going to chase out the nations slowly so that the land doesn't remain desolate, and then if the land remains desolate, then animals, wild animals will come, and that's not a positive thing. So it's all a very, how do you say it, a bracha way of getting everything is done in such a positive and such a beautiful specific way. So today we really did a lot, and today I just want, we did like the sort of more the flow of the psukim and the simple meaning, just a few more beautiful insights before we move on to the next topic. Because as we know, with all of these psukim, this sounds like history. It was in the time when the Jewish people were about to enter Eretz Yisrael. Happened a long time ago. And the big question is, how does that apply to us nowadays? So we'll see today a few very beautiful, a little bit out of context, if you want to say, deeper meaning to the psukim and how that really applies to us in our daily lives. So I want to show you. First, I want to show you the pasuk that we're going to concentrate on again, just to review, on page 438. So we are in pasuk Chaf Hei. We said, V'yavadetem es Hashem aleikeichem, you shall serve Hashem your God, which is pasuk Chaf Hei, verse 25. Uveirach es lachmecha, and He will bless your bread, es meimecha, and your water, and He will remove all illness from amongst you. And then we said, there will not be any barren, any woman who will lose her children, and barren in your land. I will fill the days of your life. And then He's going to send the fear, as we said, and the people will be chased out. Okay, so we read these psukim, and I just wanted to show you something really, really beautiful on these psukim. Okay, so now, of course, I will get confused with my papers, but so there is two booklets that you have there in front of you, and one of the booklets looks like this. It has on the front, it has a one and a two. Yeah, not the one, that's right, the other one, Ailey. So is there two there? Yeah, there's two booklets somewhere. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so I'd like to see the top, and we mentioned last the top, so this booklet, so we'll look at number one on this booklet. It's the Marva Shamesh, and I'll read you some, we'll read inside and we'll see what he tells us. So this is on the pasuk as we just read, V'yavadetem es Hashem, that you will serve Hashem your God. This is a very interesting verse, serve Hashem your God, because especially in our context, it doesn't tell us what he means by serving Hashem. What way are we serving Hashem? It just says, serve Hashem, good morning, in a very general way. So our many Mefarshim said, and we mentioned it last time, come sit, you come sit over here, and there's a, or anyway. And there's two booklets. So, okay, so we'll see over here. Usually when we have the words V'yavadetem es Hashem aleikeichem, what does it usually mean? Do you know in the Torah when it says V'yavadetem, you shall serve Hashem your God? Do you know which mitzvah it does mean usually? It actually interesting, sounds like a general thing, but it actually is... Okay, so it has to do with karbanot, and what do we do now? Tefillah. So it usually means tefillah. Very good. That's exactly right. So it is karbanot and it's tefillah. That's what we have, and that's what we say. We serve Hashem with both our hearts, and the idea of involving ourselves and connecting to Hashem. And this is it. Eizehi avayda shebelev, which is the service of the heart. Zu tefillah, right? This is davening. But let's see, I'll see a few very beautiful things. So let's see how the Marav Hashemesh tells us. What is this service that we're supposed to be serving Hashem? And as it says, because of this service, we will get these tremendous brachas. So number one on the top. Vizehu perish ha-pasuk. This is the explanation of the pasuk. Va'avadetem es Hashem aleikeichem. That you shall serve Hashem your God. Perush loshen rabim. As we said, v'avadetem is in the plural, right? In the plural, you will serve Hashem your God. Sorry that it's confusing, Melanie. Yeah, good morning, it's that. That's right. Okay, so you will serve Hashem your God is in the plural. And the reason we're stressing that is, do you remember at the end of the pasuk when it said he's going to bless our bread and our water, that was in the singular. And usually we don't do that. We don't switch from plural to singular in the same pasuk. We try to keep the same tense. So what's this idea? Is it a service of many people? Is it a blessing of one person? I just want to tell you something cute that I saw that like different Hasidic rebbes say, and I forgot which one exactly, that when it comes to davening, even when a person is davening on their own, the truth is that no Jew ever serves Hashem on their own. Our davening includes everybody. We are connected to every other person. When we eat and drink, on the other hand, who are we thinking about? Ourselves. So really, it was an interesting way, and that's the pasuk is stressed. That's why the blessing in the bread and in the water, that was in the singular. With the davening, it's in the plural. So if we want to really connect to other people, it's really a spiritual pursuit, even though we think we can do it in a social way. But with a Jew, it doesn't work just pure socially. So let's see over here, though, what he says. So he says like this. This idea of serving Hashem, your God, as we said, it's written in the plural. Ve'eza avayda shehi belev, as we said, which is the service of the heart. Havei oimer zu tfila. We say, this is the davening. Good morning, Kamrose. There's a few sheets somewhere. But there's a place for you here. Did I have to sit in the back? Okay, so Dahainu She Tispalalu Yachad Matzibur, and we mentioned this last time, that there is a power in davening when you daven together, not only on your own, as we mentioned this last week. So you daven together with the Tzibur, Ubeirach Es Lachmecha Ve'esmei Mecha, and Hashem will bless your bread and He will bless your water. Perush sheyivarech es parnasascha shetiyelecha parnasa toiva urechava. Hashem will bless your sustenance, that every person will have a, like as you might say, a tremendous amount, enough, not just enough, much more than enough of parnasa. Good morning, enough parnasa, and it will be plentiful. V'gam ubeirech es lachmecha ve'esmei mecha. And also, what does he mean that he will bless your bread and your water? Ka'i ala Torah. It's not just talking about physical sustenance. We're talking about the learning of Torah. Because for a Jew to remain alive, it's not enough for us to just eat bread and drink water. We know that if we don't fill ourselves spiritually, we are not truly alive. As he says, v'im tispalalu im hatzibur, and if you will daven together with the congregation, tasigu hasogas hatayra, it will help you that you will be able to grasp and understand Torah in a much better way. Okay, that's another bracha that we're going to get. And then what else does it say? V'hasiraisi machala mikirbacha, he will remove all illnesses from amongst you. Nuchal lefareish, dehine ksiv, Baruch Hashem Aleikei Yisrael Min Ha'olam Va'ad Ha'olam. In Tehillim we have in chapter 72 at the end, it says that Hashem, the God of Israel, is blessed from Min Ha'olam Ad Ha'olam, means forever and ever, right? From the world to the world, which means for everlasting. And then it says there's something interesting. It says Kalu Tfilos David ben Yishai. This is the end of the Tfilos, of the davening of David HaMelech. And many people say, it's an interesting question, does that mean that the rest of Tilim wasn't written by David? But there's different questions of what that means. But the bottom line is, it says that David HaMelech's Tfilos are complete. Let's see what that means and why we're bringing that here. So he says a very beautiful thing. Upeirush haradak. So the Radak explains, Ki David haMelech olav haShalom haya mispalel al kol haEnyonim shetzrichim Yisrael ad bias Mishichenu. Mashiach. Until the time of Mashiach. That David haMelech was davening for every single need that the Jewish people would have until Mashiach would come, which means that when David haMelech with Davin to Hashem and his Tehillim, it wasn't just for the people of his, first of all, it wasn't just for himself for sure. It wasn't just for his family. It wasn't just for his people of his time. It was for all of us up until today, until, that's why, as we know, one of the most, if you want to say, the most well-known books of Tanakh is Tehillim, and not only by Jews, by the whole world. Tehillim is the most read, the most used, the most davened. It is something where David HaMelech inserted the tefillahs for all of us up until today. And he says a very beautiful thing. Let's see how that all connects to what we're saying. And what did David HaMelech daven for? Al ha-choylim she'yis rapu. Anybody who's sick should be healed. Va'al ha-briyim she'lo yichalu. So anybody who's well shouldn't get sick. Va'al parnasasam, that we should all have blessing in our sustenance. Any terrible decree should be annulled. Ula osid, kishayavai Mashiach tzidkenu b'mheira b'yameinu. Oz yispaklu kol hadinin. And we know what will happen when Mashiach will come. Any judgment, so to speak, any harsh judgment will be nullified, right? So there will be not be any more illness. There will be nobody who will be hungry. Everybody will have what they need. We won't have to daven in that way for anything. We won't be davening for our needs because we will have everything that we need. That's what will happen when Mashiach will come. Right? Then all the good will be amongst the Jewish people, the nechamais and all of the thank you, the comforts, thank you so much, and nisnabu hanavim, that all of the prophets prophesized about al beis Yisrael, and that's what it means. V'zehu baruch Hashem aleikei Yisrael min ha'olam va'ad ha'olam. What does this mean? That the God of Israel, so to speak, is blessed or will bless from everlasting to everlasting. So he says, Perush. This means la'osid kishayidu kol ha'umais shehu yizbarech shmei hu melech al kol ha'olam. In the future, when all the nations will admit and acknowledge and realize that there is one God who is the king over the world. That's what we mean by Olam, that in other words, that God is the king over, the master over the world, and that will be recognized not only by us, but by everybody. What will happen then? We go now to the top. Then all the negative judgments will disappear. Then we won't need any more of the tefillahs of David HaMelech. And that's why we say, Kalu tefillahs, David ben Yishai, that the tefillahs of David ben Yishai are complete. In other words, they're not needed anymore, those tefillahs, that we should be healthy, that we should have what to eat, because everybody will be healthy, everybody will have what to eat. As we say, Sh'az Yel Yisrael Kol Tov, everything, we will have all good. And that's what it means in the pasuk, v'zehu perush v'hasiroisi machalum bikirbacha, that I will remove all illness from amongst you. Why? Ki al yedei shehaadam mispalalim hatzibor, if a person davens with the congregation, who mamshich kol hashpa'is toiveis al knesses Yisrael, he draws down all of the good blessings, everything on the congregation, umevatel kol hagzeres kashos, and he nullifies any difficult decrees, any bad decrees, me'al Knesset Yisrael, from the congregation of the Jewish people. We won't have to daven anymore for anything physical. The only thing we might still have to daven for is one thing. Kiyim al ha-ge'ula. See, David HaMelech daven for all of us. We have that power when we daven together with the congregation to also bring down all the blessings, even before Mashiach comes. But the problem is, even if that's the case, there's still something missing, something big missing. And that's the only thing that we're going to have to daven for, and that is that Mashiach should come, as he says. So all the physical things will be taken care of, but we'll still, obviously, the main thing will be missing, so we will be able to focus and daven on what really matters. As he says, Kiyem al hagula shleima shetia b'mheira b'yameinu. And that's what the pasuk means. V'zehu hasireisi machalam b'kirbacha. That what will happen, he's going to remove, we said it means illness. So here he explains, Perush, she'osir hatfila mikirbacha. I will remove the necessity of the general davening. How do you see that in the word machla? So he says a very beautiful thing. Because the word machla, which means illness, also is miloshen vayichal moshe, loshen tfila, moshe begged and beseeched, which is also a language of davening. So he's taking it totally out of context. And he says that I will remove the necessity of us davening for basic physical needs. We will all have all our basic physical needs. And as he says, so therefore we won't need it. We won't have to daven for anything physical. All the good will come down from Hashem. Very interesting way of explaining the psukim that he says, and the key here is v'yavadatem, that we daven together. When you daven together, the power of the tefillah, as we mentioned last week, is so tremendous. But here he says is that what it will do is it will make that all of our physical needs will be taken care of. So what will we be davening for? Only one thing, that Mashiach should come. Now, unfortunately, we get a bit distracted because we have many, many, many needs. So it's true. We know that when Mashiach will come, all our needs will be taken care of. But what do we feel? We feel our lack in all the other things. If somebody's not well, if somebody's not, whatever it is. So that's what he says. I will remove that need of davening from amongst you. How? If you daven in a congregation. That's one way of explaining. Let me go to the next. I put number two because we're doing all the different things on these psukim. We might do one more on V'yavadatem, but I just want to show you something on number two. Number two is going to the next part that we mentioned. This is a very beautiful thing. We said that Hashem will send that special wasp. Remember we mentioned last week? And that wasp will sting with its into the eyes of the enemy, and the enemies will be wiped out, right? And that this way we will be able to conquer Eretz Yisrael very easily. That's one of the brachas that Hashem gives us, and we say that in the times of Yehoshua, that's what actually happened. And this wasp, special wasp, and it was a miraculous way of overcoming the enemy. So he asks, and then as I said before, and the very important thing is that the enemies will not all leave at once. There will not be a desolate part of Eretz Yisrael. It will be slowly but surely that we will get rid of the enemy so that the wild animals shouldn't come, and we should be able to take over the land in a good way, so to speak, in a way which is proper, which is good for us, which is easier for us, and which is more beneficial for us, as we said. Let's see what that means for me and you today. So he says, V'shalachti es hatzira, that special wasp was called the tzira. So he said, Hashem says, I will send this tzira lefanecha before you, right? V'gereshes achiv v'esaknani v'esachchiti milfanecha, and I will chase out all these different nations from before you. Lo yagarshenu mipanecha b'shana achas, I will not chase them out in 1 year, because then the land will be desolate, and then there will be a tremendous amount of wild animals that will come into the land. Right? Slowly, slowly, I will chase them out from before you. So now he says, so we have to understand something. The Torah is eternal. We're not fighting in those days. We're not in the time of Yehoshua. What is the message here for us? So he says beautifully, we always, in every generation, at all times, we have to be able to keep every aspect in the Torah. Shelkach nikreis Torah, shehi moira lanu haderech, asher neilechba. That's why it's called Torah. Torah is from the language of showing us the way. It illuminates for us how we should live, the path of life. So what is the message here for us? So he says, so what does this pasuk teach us in our generation? Why does the pasuk tell us that I won't chase them out in 1 year? As it says, because land will be desolate, and there will be lots of animals. Hashem can do anything, as we know. This is miraculous to begin with. The fact that there's going to be these special wasps that's going to shoot this poison into the eyes of the enemy, and then they're all going to die. I mean, that's miracle of miracles, right? So why is it that we say that Hashem says, I won't chase them all out at once, because there shouldn't come wild animals shouldn't come. We know Hashem could make miracles. He could make that the land should be empty and no wild animals will come. That's not even such a massive, amazing miracle. Why does he have to do it this way? It's a very interesting question. So let's see, he says, that's right, now he's going to give us the lesson. It's a very beautiful idea. So Hashem gave the person, Lefnei HaAdam, Shnei Drachim. Two ways, generally speaking, we can say that there's always two choices, right? Every moment we have a choice to make between one thing and another. As we say, the negative or the positive. The good, well, it's not always so clear, as we know, it's quite gray. But generally speaking, va'amar, and what are we told? U'bacharto b'chayim, we should choose life. Which means we should choose the right way, the way that's going to get us closer to Hashem. V'nosan ha'bchira, and we are given the free choice, v'haratzin, and the will, b'yad ha'adam, in the hands of the person, k'dei she'yimaspira, that's right, it's rak b'tayv, that the person should not like the bad, he should be disgusted in the bad, and he should only choose the good. Every person was given that free choice, and in a way, Hashem did make us, if we clear ourselves, to, yes, be pulled more to want to do the good, but nevertheless, we always have the choice. That's how it works. It's always in our hands. We choose. So we can choose the negative if we want to. That's up to us. And as he says, that's why Hashem sort of contracted himself, which in this context means that he hid himself. As you said, Sylvia, right? Aster, Hashem hid himself a little bit, so it looks a bit confusing. Why did he make it confusing? So that there should be an opportunity that we do make mistakes. If Hashem was obvious, well, what would be the choice? Like we say, if somebody puts in front of you, I don't know, a beaten up car or a Lexus, so there's no choice there. So if we would see Hashem in front of us every moment of the day, we wouldn't be making any choices. It would be obvious what we are doing. But Hashem doesn't let us see him obviously, and therefore we have to constantly make choices. And what's the point of that? V'adam yisgaber al yitzray, what does Hashem want? Hashem wants us to overcome and be strong on our Yetzara and choose life. When a person wants to enter into the ways of Torah and serving Hashem, and he prepares his heart, we know what we do. We ask Hashem, but here he says it in a very beautiful language. We scream. We don't just ask. And we say, Hashem, please help us. These are difficult. It's difficult to constantly have these decisions to have to make. And we ask Hashem to help us. That we should be able to serve him properly and wholesomely, lahagbir hayetzer hatoiv ala yetzer hara, that the yetzer toiv should be the one that overcomes and that's stronger than the yetzer hara, kimedaimad beinav, as what appears in his own eyes, in other words, what he thinks is right, im yishkoid ala veidasai zman maat yielibai borer vitzalol velayifkaim oid klal. So now, what a person really wants, and we all do this sometimes, is what we would love is, you know, you see that with not just children, we see with all of us. We like to put a little bit of effort and then we hope that everything will just fall into place. So we would love, we wake up in the morning and we say, yeah, we have to make lots of decisions, but let's say Hashem, you're going to help us. So, okay, I'll overcome this one little challenge, but then you're going to make the rest of the way nice and easy and smooth for me, especially because I just overcame this massive challenge. So now, well, you're just going to make it easy. But as we know, it's not the way it works. It would be lovely and wonderful and easy. It's just not the way it works. And we would love to say that we've, so to speak, stabbed in the eyes of the Satan. You know, we've gotten rid of him. It's gone. Our Yetzer is gone. That's not the way it works. But it's not that way. Every day we have different battles, and sometimes the same battle. But we're constantly fighting. And sometimes we overcome him in one thing. Then he comes in a different form, different way. He finds different costumes all the time. So he keeps coming back again and again and again. And it's on the next page. It says, again, it says number two because it's a continuation. Why should it be this way? Isn't he crying out to Hashem from the bitterness of his soul? It's very beautiful language. That's why I wanted to do this one inside. We ask Hashem to take away that heart of stone that sometimes we all feel. In other words, when we're just not feeling, and it's hard. It's just so hard, as we say. Right? And we know Hashem can do anything, right? As he says, Kulam. Hashem could make that the Yetzer Hara shouldn't try to make us stumble. Shouldn't be the one who gets us and constantly makes it so hard for us. Hashem could do it, and we know he can do it. And we ask him to. As we say, why? And we say to Hashem, you know, really, our intent is such a positive one. We want you to remove our heart of stone so that we can serve you properly, so we can serve you better. So we're coming with good intention. We don't want it necessarily, it should be easy, but we want it to be that we should be, a lot of times our struggles are such that they're so basic. And we feel like, why do we have to be involved in such basic struggles constantly? Wouldn't it be nice if we could be involved in something much higher, something much purer, so to speak, or we don't have to struggle at all and we could just sit and learn Torah and do mitzvahs and be good and feel like an automatic kindness or an automatic patience, an automatic everything. Why should it have to always be so difficult?
Fatrus,
exactly. Why do we need so much fatrus? So we say, acha inyan hu kach, but the matter is such. Shaha adam hu bevchinas hoylech. The person, as we know, a human being is called a hoylech, somebody who is going, moving, walking. Every day he conquers his Yetzer Hara and he breaks his desires a little bit. The Yetzer Hara oimed negdai, and the Yetzer Hara standing there opposite him. V'hu mischazek yoser ba'avaydas Hashem, and hopefully he's strengthening himself in his serving of Hashem. U'machnias ha'Yetzer Hara oidmat, and little by little by little, he's making the Yetzer Hara, so to speak, subjugated, you know, a little bit. It's very slow. And the next day he's standing there with something else, the Yetzer Hara. And the person overcomes and conquers his Yetzer Hara, gambazeh, also in this. And then he's sort of breaking the Yetzer Hara another little bit. At the beginning, when he's starting, so he has to break the Yetzer Hara with all the physical, so to speak, desires. Okay, this is written by a tzaddik, so he obviously moved very, you know, he actually did grow tremendously. Some of us stay young, in good ways and in not such good ways. But he says, and even a person who's already conquered his Yetzer Hara in all of these matters has to really, really examine himself. You'll never really get rid of him. Maybe he's trying to trick you in a very fine matter. You have to always be on alert. A person can never relax, so to speak. It's never like a day that you say, today it's all just going to go smooth sailing and it will all come easy. It doesn't work that way. And sometimes the Yetzer Hara comes to us in very tricky and very, very small ways. Hard for us to discern that this is truly the Yetzer Hara. But he does. He manages. As says, and it looks like, as he says, Shalafi hanira hi mitzvah. Sometimes it might even appear that it's a mitzvah, but it's really from the Yetzirah. So we never know how he's going to come. And then he says, Ube emes einekein, elishu reitza lifrei shalai b'mitzuda. But really, it's not that way, but the Yetzirah is literally setting a trap for him. V'chol shu nichnas yeser ba'avaydas Hashem yisberach tzorch ledaktek al atzma yeser v'yeser. Afilu b'davar shu kechut asayra. And the more, so to speak, that you grow in your closeness to Hashem, you have to examine yourself more and more, literally like a hair, you know, so to speak, the finest, the smallest things, because you don't know how the Yetzirah will come. Good morning. So we say like this, Tzarech lichbash Yetzirah ulahagbara lav, you have to conquer the Yetzirah and overcome him. V'lochein HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktikim ha-tzadikim k'chot ha-sayra. We know how Hashem is very careful with the tzadikim, literally like a hair. In other words, he expects near almost perfection. Shezuhi mulchamta, because this is their war in ha-yetzer. Ki bedvar magashmim because they have already conquered the Yetzirah in the physical matters, now they have spiritual challenges. It's a very interesting thing. A very beautiful thing. We, as we say, as human beings, are always on the move. Let's hope that today's effort and today's war is greater and bigger than yesterday's. And what does that mean? Malach, but compared to an angel. Angel is very different. Hu bechinas oimed. I know we've had this before. Malach is called somebody who stands. Ki ein beineim shum yetzahara. They don't have any yetzahara. Ukasher oivet es Hashem yisparach hayayim. The way he serves Hashem today. Kein etmol. Tmol shilshayn. The way the Malach serves Hashem today is the way he served him yesterday, the way he served him 3 days ago, the way he's going to serve him tomorrow. It's constant. It's consistent. It's something important to remember, because for us, a lot of times, what we do ask for, we would love, we say consistency. Wouldn't that be beautiful? If we could just be consistent, if we can just stick, you know, we take something upon ourselves and we find ourselves keeping it, but then after a little while, sometimes we become a little bit weaker or whatever it may be. Most people, and this is human nature, are not the same. Every day and every moment we feel differently. Our moods fluctuate. Everything fluctuates. We are not perfectly consistent. That's the way Hashem made us. And that's actually the way Hashem made us. And it's dafka that way. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. We are holchim. Somebody who's walking is not static, doesn't stay in the same place. Staying in the same place, even if we think that would be amazing, is not amazing. That's the work of a malach. That's fine. That's not the work of a human being. And let's see what he says, a very beautiful thing about that. Sorry, it's a bit long. I just want to read it. At this time, I'm reading it a bit fast. And if I'm reading too fast or if you don't understand, please, please, please stop me. Okay, I just want to quickly see. He says, Aval ha'adam hu b'chinas ha'ilech. Sha'ilech v'gadol b'chol yayim v'yayim. Right, the person grows every single day. Ba'avaydah z'akel yisparach shmai in their service of Hashem. V'zu ha'avaydah hi sha'ashuin. Very beautiful language. Also, this work that for us sometimes is it's not sometimes, it's always a struggle and can sometimes seem, as we said before, difficult and bitter and hard, but for Hashem we call it sha'ashuin lefanav. It's like a toy, it's like pleasure. And it sounds crazy, Hashem has pleasure from our difficulty, but when we overcome the Yetzirah, it gives Hashem tremendous pleasure. You know what it's like? It's like when you see a child who has to literally push themselves with something, whatever it is that's hard for them. If they're afraid of the water and they jump into the pool, you know, a parent gets such an excitement. Wow, we actually push themselves. They get on the bicycle and they push themselves. There's no greater pleasure than that feeling of that, wow, that child, it's not the exactly when they learn to walk, even though they fall, but they're still, it's that feeling that the child is working hard and getting somewhere. And also you as a parent know the great satisfaction that the child feels, because every time we have a success, there's no greater satisfaction than that success that we feel, because we've put effort in and we've succeeded, even if it's something so small, and even if it's easy for somebody else, but for us it's hard, for us, and Hashem sees that. So this is Hashem's pleasure, as we say. And then we say, V'lochein ha-tzadikim heim ha-gedoylim min ha-malachim. That's why we say that righteous people are greater than angels. U'mechitzasam tiyeh lo'asad lo'avei lifnim min ha-malachim. And where will their place be in the world to come? It will be much closer to Hashem than the malachim. V'Hashem yizbarach asazayz kadei she'yizgabar ala yetzahar l'man harbay scharay. Hashem did this so that he should be able to increase their reward. She'yeh gadol yaser min ha-malach. They should be greater than angels. Because im yosir mimenu ha-yetzahara taketh, if Hashem would remove the yetzahara immediately, k'sheyaschil lichnois la-bavaydas Hashem, as soon as they begin serving Hashem, aza yisbatul mimenu ha-bechira, what will happen? There will be no more free choice. So let's say if Hashem was, we would think kind, and tell us we only have to struggle for 1 year, but then afterwards we would have no more free choice. That would be the end of that. And then what would happen? We would become Oindim, standing, just like Malachim, we're on the top. Kasher Oivet Hayyim Kein Macher, then today would be the same as tomorrow as the next day. V'yeh Malach Gadol Mimenu, and not only that, but we wouldn't even be as great as the angels. The angels would be greater than us. Why? Ki Malach Huruchnis, because at the end of the day, a Malach happens to be totally spiritual. V'ha'adam Af im yinotel mimenu ataivus mikol v'kol, because a person, a human being, even if all of his desires are removed from him totally, adayinu k'tzas gashmi, he would still be a little bit physical, which means he would still be a limited person. Shehu ba'olam hagashmi, would be in the physical world. V'hakadosh baruch hu roitza lezakas es Yisrael, Hashem wants to give us merits. V'lochein megara behem hayetzahara, so Hashem makes the yetzahara really, you know, so to speak, constantly fight, if you want to say, kadesh she is Gabriel Yitzhar, so we should overcome the Yitzhara. V'yeschare harbein ma'id min ha-malachim, so our reward will be much greater than the angels. Now he's going to bring it back to our psukim. How can a person overcome and subjugate his Yitzhara? Al yidei shehu roya kol mashehu mischazek es atzmai b'avaydus Hashem. Yoyser adayin ha-yitzhara ma'ayrer bilvavay in yonim bilti toivim. What will happen? So sometimes there's two things that, you know, we talk about this even in education. When a person has failure, so there's two things that can happen. Too much failure can actually break a person, and then the person won't try anymore, right? We know that can happen. But little failures, if we're programmed correctly, hopefully, can motivate us to try harder, so to speak, to overcome the next time. So little failures, small ones, I don't know if the word is failures, but small stumblings, as we say. Like we say with a child, right, as you said, so when they fall, they pick themselves up and they try again, until they master it. But in the meantime, what happens? You can see, again, I know I always bring that, but you can see it even in a classroom. If you have a very, very exceptionally bright child who comes to school and really doesn't have to work hard, and every test just gets their hundreds, what happens to such a person, unfortunately?
Depression.
Yeah, they do at the end. You know why? Because what happens? Yeah, and arrogance. It leads them to tremendous arrogance, and then they don't put any effort afterwards because they're just complacent and arrogant. When a person has small failures, they learn, first of all, how to deal with that, small ones. Then what happens is it breaks them a little bit, right? They feel a bit broken. Not breaks them, but they feel a little bit broken. When you feel broken, especially when we're talking about in our spiritual growth, we come closer to Hashem. The more broken we feel inside, the less arrogance we feel inside, the closer we are to Hashem. The more we allow Hashem in. And that's why, I'll read you quickly how he says it. He says, so every time that he strengthens, so when a person sees every time he tries, he still has his Yetzirah, right? And there's all, and he keeps coming in different ways. So nishbar libay, so his heart breaks, bikir bay. V'omar mistame ein kavanasi borer l'shamayim, and he tells himself, probably my intention is not so pure. V'oysa tachbulos yoyser, so then he tries a different way, how? Comes with all kinds of techniques. How is he going to get the Yetzirah? V'al yidei hachna'azu, and through this break-in, so to speak, through this humility, mischazek es atzma, he strengthens himself, v'kayvish es Yetzirah, ma'at ma'at, slowly, slowly he conquers his Yetzirah. Ad shemachnia mikol v'kol, until he totally, at the end, By the time he passes on, he totally, so to speak, subjugates the Yetzer Hara. Now we will come back into the verses. V'shalachti es hatzira. Remember we said this special wasp that Hashem will send? V'gerash es achivi, and he's going to chase away all those nations. Perush, sha'al yedei hachna, through our humility, through our feeling broken. Shebach, tigoresh hashloisha klipos hakoshes, you will actually chase away the three harshest negative klipos. Klipos are all the negativity. Those are the three nations. Vitzira, what is the tzira? We said, how are we going to get rid of them? With this wasp. So the word tzira, humayra al hakatnos, that shows that smallness, that humility. How do you see it? Because it's from the language of Tsoir aniliyam, which Tsoir we know is the youngest, right? We say Hatsoir, the younger one, the smaller one. So we say, the Amar Hakosav Loyagar Shenu Mipanecha, and the pasuk tells us, I won't chase him out b'shana achas in 1 year. What does that mean? Perish Loyagar Eishayisam Mipanecha Tekef b'pamachas. Hashem's not going to get rid of our Yetzirah in 1 minute, as we know, not in one time. Dehainu Shetachnias Lipcha V'Titzak Lefanai. So you're going to, you know, subjugate your heart. You're going to scream to me Sheoser Mimcha Yetzirah, that you should remove the Yetzirah, but I won't. Why? Pentiyaharet Shmama. Because what will happen is that the land will be desolate. What does that mean? Perisha Artsiyah Shalcha Tiyeh Ruchnius. Because then what will happen is that Artsiyah means the physicality. What will happen? Shmama will become desolate. In this context, it means that everything physical, material will become spiritual. Shmama from the Lashon Shamayim. It will become like heaven. Instead of it being earth, it will be heaven. So your physical, if Hashem gets rid of your Yetzer Hara, what will happen? No more Bechira, no more free choice. But what does it mean? It means we have no Yetzirah, we have no negativity. So we will be no more earthly people, we will be heavenly people. That sounds wonderful, but that's not what Hashem wants. Hashem has heavenly people. He has the angels. He doesn't need more heavenly people. He wants earthly people. He wants struggling people. As he said, then all the free choice will be removed. Then you will become standing like an angel. That's what it said, that all the animals will increase, right? There'll be so many animals in the land. What does that represent? We know, the angel will be more. How does the angel have to do with the animals? We say it every day in davening. The chayes hasada haynu chayes hakodesh. You know, before Shema, we talk about the angels as animals. That's how we refer to angels, because just like an animal doesn't have free choice, an angel doesn't have free choice. They're just there to do Hashem's bidding. So the angels will become greater than you if Hashem removes your bechira, as we said, because in truth they're purely spiritual. You will still remain, even though you'll be pure, but you'll still be physical. And that's definitely not your destiny. And that's not what we want. So Hashem doesn't want to send out, so to speak, all the nations at once, which represent all the negativity. He wants us to slowly, slowly, day by day, minute by minute, continue our struggle throughout our life. And then we are higher than the angels. As we say, Yegdolim, there will be greater. Ki amalach v'ruchni l'gamri v'adam b'ilam agashmi. As we said, v'yeish b'iktas gashmi is elam ma'at. Ma'at agarshenu mipanecha. Slowly, little by little, I will chase them out. Kedei sheyeschorcha gadol mila malachim, so that your reward will be greater than the angels. Al yidei shemizgaber al yitzrei b'chol yom, through the fact that you overcome yitzara every single day. Bevchinas hoylech, so you become like a walking person, a growing person. V'scharayya gadol mila malachim, and your reward will be greater. So just as you can see something very beautiful here, just a small quick message is, when we're talking about conquering Eretz Yisrael, we're talking about conquering our own part of the world. Every person has a portion of the world that they are designated to conquer, that they are designated to so to speak, purify. It's in themselves, and it's also just around them, and a lot of the different people that they happen to encounter and that they'll happen to meet and whatever will happen. Now, in truth, it would be so good if we didn't have to struggle. That's what we feel. And we do ask Hashem not to test us. We don't want tests. But nevertheless, what we have to think about and what we have to realize and reflect is that the struggle is actually a gift from Hashem. If we look at it that way, perhaps it can shift our perspective just slightly, in that even though we don't succeed always in our struggle, and we feel a little bit smaller that's a good thing. It's good to feel a bit smaller. It's good to feel that we depend on Hashem. We need Hashem constantly to help us. We are not independent. We are not strong in ourselves. We need Hashem to help us. And the struggle gives Hashem, in that sense, that pleasure. But we can keep on going. And slowly, 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 as they did with the land of Israel, we will conquer, overcome, transform. And we will be people, not angels. And that's what Hashem wants. Very, very magnificent way of understanding how a pasuk, which seems, you know, thousands of years ago, applies to us every minute of every single day. I want to show you one more. This is a Nesivas Shalem at the bottom. I know it's a lot today of the inside. Hope it's all right. It's so beautiful, just beautiful to see how it really applies to us today. And this is also, I didn't write a number 3. It's just under the 2. It's on that same page. We said before that Hashem is going to remove all illness. So the Nesivas Shalem explains which illness are we referring to here? So he says, "Al derech ma'akasuv kol amachla sher samti b'mitzrayim loy osim alecha ki ani Hashem reifecha." Now we had a pasuk already earlier in Chumash, and it says that all of the illnesses that Hashem put on the Egyptians, remember we read this, I won't give you because I am your healer, right? I'm your doctor, right? We said. So then comes an interesting question. If Hashem said he's not giving us any of those illnesses and he's our doctor, so what's he talking about here? We're not ill, right? Which illness is he talking? I thought we're not going to be ill, so why does he have to say we won't be, you know, that he's going to remove all illness? It's another interesting question. In Egypt, what kind of illness was there in Egypt? We know what happened to the Egyptians. It doesn't say Hashem made them sick. It says Hashem made them plagues, right? Plagues is not illness. We don't call it illness. We say plagues. So why does it say that I will remove all illness that the Egyptians suffered? What does that mean? Which illness did the Egyptians suffer that he's referring to in that pasuk that we will not have?
The hatred for Jews.
Sorry?
Idol worshiper.
Okay, so that's true. That's a very general, as you say, the hatred for Jews. It's interesting, but let's see a little bit more specific what he means here, because that's a very general thing. I mean, that's all the nations, if you want to say anybody, and especially the nations, as we mentioned earlier, that they're going to enter into the land of Israel. They were even worse in that sense. So he says a very interesting thing. Aval hamachla hi k'mad d'kosuv ki ani hichbadeti es libay ve'eslev avodav. What does it say in Egypt? That Hashem made Pharaoh's heart hard and the heart of the servants hard. And what does that mean? Shalam reis shekiblu ka'elu makos. Huchbad libay ve'lev avodav. What does that mean? Despite the fact that they had experienced so many plagues, Hashem still made their heart hard. What does that mean? What does it mean he made their heart hard? And he says, hachbadas haleiv, he says, zohi machlas mitzrayim. The hardness of the heart, that's the illness of the Egyptians. What's it referring to? What's the hardness of the heart? So he says, kishaloi, this is a very important line, I should have underlined, kishaloi royim v'loi misboininim kimayshit zorich. When a person doesn't see and a person doesn't contemplate the way they should. What do we mean? What should we see? So he says, "Kol hameurais ha'ayvrim al Yehudi." Every experience, everything that we go through, everything day to day. We're not talking about massive things. Every experience that we go through, he says, a very interesting thing. We have to. What must we do? Mechayvim oisai behizbainenus. That should compel us to think. So a whole day. Every time we're supposed to stop every few minutes and think, oh, what just happened? What just happened? What just happened? Not just coast along. And what should we see and feel in every experience? So he says a very beautiful thing. Sheyishma es dvar Hashem hamidaber v'koyrei elav mitoich kol hameurais. Magnificent language. Only in Hebrew, only the way he says it, it's beautiful. He says that a person should realize that what's happening here is that just want to see the words again. Sorry. That every single experience that a person has, he should be able to hear the words, so to speak, in the experience. He should hear the words of Hashem who is speaking to him from the experience. The experience is Hashem speaking to you. And you are meant to open your ears and actually hear Hashem's voice every single day. We can hear it in every experience that we go through. And as he says, "Kasher einai sam libay lehizbainet," but when you don't pay attention and you don't contemplate, "Zu machlas Mitzrayim," this is the illness of the Egyptians. Hachbodas halev, the hardness of the heart. And that's what he says, that's what the Rambam writes. The kamesh yesh machles gufnis. Just like there's physical illnesses, kach yesh machles hanefesh, there is spiritual illnesses. Machles ruchnis, right? The soul illnesses, the spiritual illnesses. Vezeu perish v'hasi reisi machalom bikir b'chol. That's what he means here. What illness is he going to remove? D'chol inyan hachbadas halev shalibay shal adam mitumtum. Ve'enoi roye ve'enoi shaymeya noiveya machmas pegamav. A person who has a heart that's like a stone. And what happens is he doesn't see and he doesn't hear. Why? Because of all the blemishes and all the blockages. He's unable to feel Hashem's presence in every experience. Ach kasher, but when vavadatem es Hashem alikecha, as we started, when you serve Hashem your God, Shem is kadesh, umiskarev l'Hashem yisbarech, when you make yourself holy and you sanctify yourself and you come close to Hashem, az v'hasira isi machla zumi kerbach, I will remove this illness. Shem mikol hamurai, every experience that you will have, yire, you will see, v'yishma, and you will hear, es dvar Hashem hamedab, V'koyrei Eilav, who's speaking and calling to you, b'chol hamatzovim, in every situation. Shelakol zeh magiyim al yidei, how do you get there? Through v'avadata es Hashem alekecha. And what is that? And he explained it before, we didn't do that inside. Shemayser kol ta'anuga l'Hashem, that you give over all of your pleasures to God. Because we said Hashem is going to bless your water and bless your bread. And it explains that what a person should do is that really in their life, they obviously have to serve Hashem by davening. But it's more than that. You serve Hashem in all your experiences, in your physical, in your daily, in every moment, in everything that's happening. And if you give over that you are here as a servant of Hashem, then what will happen is you will hear Hashem, you will see Hashem in every part of your day, in every moment of your day. And what that does is such a powerful, beautiful thing. It helps you for the next moment, and for the next moment, and for the next moment, because you will feel guided. You will feel, as we started this whole concept, what did we say? A malach, right? We said that Hashem, that a malach is accompanying us throughout all of our journeys. That's what we said, right? And we said Yeshua saw the malach. Not every Jew did, but Yeshua did. And we also have a malach. That's what we have. But we have to just open our eyes and let our unstuff our ears and be able to see it and feel it. And that's a very beautiful concept. That the
why is this
the...
Why?
Well, they have it even stronger than anybody, because there you can see that they were given direct, if you think about it, the plagues were miraculous. Anybody who goes through 10 miraculous plagues like that and still doesn't see Hashem, my God, that's pretty bad news. That's why, you understand, like, it's like extreme almost. It's like even in the world, you see when things like crazy things happen, even, not everybody, but a lot of people will say, wow, this is supernatural, you know? There, they were so stubborn about it that they didn't allow themselves to feel Hashem's presence. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's showing. Yeah. So that's a very powerful
thing. They don't want to see it today, too.
You're right. They don't. Yes, Rosa. Well, let's us. But you know what? Let us see it first. Then we'll. That will help everybody else see it. I just want to show you one more beautiful thing. Okay. We said also, I just wanted to share with you this one orally before we go. Time goes so fast. Beautiful thing we mentioned also about the woman. We said that no woman in your land will miscarry or be barren. So there's a very beautiful concept that's explained. It says, what does the concept spiritually of a miscarriage or infertility? So it says that, very interesting thing, that in Torah we have a concept of understanding, thinking about Hashem, learning about godliness in our mind. But what's it supposed to lead to? It's supposed to lead to the emotional, right? You're supposed to lead to the fear of Hashem and the love of Hashem. And it's interesting that the fear and the love, all the emotions, are like the children of the intellect. Now, if the intellect doesn't give birth to the emotion, that's called a barren intellect. So it's very nice. You might have very nice high thoughts and you might learn amazing things. But if when you close the book, it doesn't affect the way you feel,
it's a little bit of a problem, right? But that's not the complete, if you want to say the complete picture in any sense. So here there's a tremendous, tremendous bracha. That even though for some of us, and it's quite a high level to feel, so to speak, a fear or a love or anything of spiritual, but nevertheless Hashem promises us that if we come to Hashem with the humility, as we said, and we want to serve Him, He's going to make sure that our intellectual pursuits will not remain barren, and they will not miscarry. Not only won't they remain barren, they will not miscarry. Miscarry means that sometimes a person has a very short spurt of inspiration, but that's not enough, because we want a consistent inspiration that motivates us to actually act on it. And this is the promise that Hashem gives us, that our learning, even though it's a very hard thing, He will ensure that it will also lead to us actually feeling, and hopefully then actually practically doing everything we're meant to be doing. So it's a very beautiful bracha that's in that part. Okay, now the next part that we will, I'll just tell you early a little bit what we're going to do. I feel bad because the time is up already. By the time we could read one pasuk, but the next is the next. Actually, we finished the Perek 23, Chaf Gimel. Perek Chaf Dalet is a very strange thing, because what happens now, this is the last chapter in Parshas Mishpatim, and it goes back to something which seems so out of order. It goes back to the whole story of Matan Torah, of the giving of the Torah. We had the story of Matan Torah and the Aseres Adibreis in Parshas Yisroi, which was a whole parsha before. Then we had all the laws in Mishpatim, and now all of a sudden at the end of Mishpatim, the Torah transports us back to Har Sinai. What's happening? Strange, very, very strange. So there's two ways of thinking, two general thought processes. One thought is the Rashi's way. Rashi's approach is that the end of Parshas Mishpatim really doesn't belong there. In other words, Mishpatim, it's almost like a parenthesis you want to put in. And the truth is that this part, this next chapter, really should come right after, right before Anoichi Hashem Elikecha. Because it's the story before Hashem gives us the Torah. Why Hashem puts all this in is a good question. We'll see. That's one opinion. So all of this happened before the giving of the Torah, and the Torah has been a famous line, there's Ein Muktam U'Muchar, there's no order in the Torah. That's a concept that we have. Hashem could put things out of place. But the Ramban, the other way, totally the other way, says, no, that's impossible. He says, that's not the way it is. This is a whole separate section, and this happens after the giving of the Torah, even though it looks like it's part of the giving of the Torah, and we'll see it has Nasa v'Nishma, because according to the Ramban, what happened was that Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jewish people prepared to receive the Torah. Hashem speaks, you know, they hear the thunder, the lightning, and all the Ten Commandments, and it's all amazing. And we always assume that immediately Moshe Rabbeinu goes up on the mountain and stays there for 40 days, right? But according to the Ramban, there was a little bit of space. There was a few hours in between. And after all the thunder and the lightning and all the incredible experience, Moshe again communicated with the people, and then he went up on the mountain. Hashem called him up to the mountain. And in that time period, which was overnight, and then the next morning he goes up, or in the morning and then the afternoon he goes up, actually, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Jewish people quite a few things, amongst which was a lot of the laws of Parshas Mishpatim. That's why it comes here. And then he goes up on the mountain and he learns the rest of the Torah, and he spends 40 days and 40 nights there, as we know, right? So it's a very different approach. I feel bad, like I say, time is up, because you have to understand what's the significance of the different approaches, why they have these different approaches. I'll just tell you one small thing, that according to any way you want to look at it, this concept of Parshas Mishpatim, which as we saw when we learned all these laws, seem in a way random, but a lot of them are very physical, right? They're money and loans and animals and all kinds of mundane day-to-day activities, which sometimes also show the baseness of human nature. You know, it's like people who perhaps steal, you know, all kinds of lie, deceive, maybe a false witness, all kinds of things which are not so incredible. Why is it coming in between a sandwich, so to speak, of the giving of the Torah before and the giving of the Torah after? The idea is that when we talk about Hashem appearing, revealing himself on Har Sinai, many of us, what do we think of in our context? Well, we think of Yom Kippur, you know, Yom Kippur, a day we separate from the world, then we have a revelation of godliness, we feel so close to Hashem, wonderful. The Torah tells us, yeah, Yom Kippur is wonderful, and that's true. And Shavuos is also wonderful, and it's wonderful to have a time when we have a revelation of godliness in a, so to speak, in a miraculous way. But the truth is that Hashem is with us in the miraculous and in the tremendously special and holy days, and he's with us in the day-to-day, mundane, as we saw now, simple, difficult, animalistic struggles. And that's really the purpose of Torah. So the purpose is that the Matan Torah shouldn't remain some thunder and lightning holy experience that we just come to once in a while. Rather, every single day, we take Matan Torah with us, and we'll see it next week. I mean, I don't know, next week is interesting if we're having a shiur, but we'll see it when we do it. I want to show you inside, is that that Hashem really reveals himself to us every day. And every day how? In our normal day-to-day activities, whenever we follow Shulchan Aruch, whenever we do something according to what Hashem dictates, we get a revelation of Hashem. That's what it says. And that's why Parshas Mishpatim is sort of sandwiched by the tremendous miracles of Matan Torah. So that's one, just a quick overview, but we will see in Mirtz Hashem much more deeper insight to understand how it works and all the beautiful psukim about it. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.